Bats are intriguing creatures, and because they are nocturnal, most of us have experienced very few sightings, maybe a flash across the road as we're driving through the countryside, but not a lot more. Kristen Lear from Ohio and based in Narracourt for 12 months is studying the critically endangered southern bent-wing bats. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning, Lucy.
Firstly, I'd love to know why the fascination with bats. When did it all begin, and where did it develop from there?
Actually, I've always had a fascination with bats and other animals that most people don't like. And I think the thing that clinched it for me was after my second year of university, I helped with a research project done in Texas looking at bats in pecan agriculture and how bats help the ecosystem down there. And just being out all night, I absolutely fell in love with the work and with the animals.
I'm intrigued with that. How do they help the ecosystem?
That's a great question. They provide lots of services to the ecosystem and to us. They eat some pest insects that damage our crops, so they benefit us in that way. Mm-hmm. And they just help keep the ecosystem in balance by eating lots of insects, like mosquitoes, that can bother us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, you're here in the Limestone Coast on a Fulbright scholarship. Could you perhaps explain what the scholarship is and how you actually won it?
Yeah, so the Fulbright is basically a cultural and educational exchange program between the United States and many other countries. And Australia and the U.S. have a partnership with the program. And I had to apply my junior year of college, start the application process, and then submitted my application and basically just had to wait for a few months to hear back. And it was a strenuous process with applying, but it, very well worth it in the long run.
So what was the basis of your application? Did you have to set out in detail what you wanted to do during your 12 months away?
Yes, exactly. You have to have a project pretty much set up. It doesn't have to be exactly what you will end up doing, but they want to know that you have found out the details for your project. And so when I was applying, I was contacting people here in Australia who study bats and getting my project going that way.
Mm-hmm. And there was an opening for you at the Narracook Caves.
Yes, it worked out perfectly.
Now, the scholarship, does that provide you with everything you need for 12 months, accommodation, food, the lot, or do you have to have a bit of out-of-pocket expense as well?
It gives you a stipend, a monthly stipend, which you can use however you want. So, you know, I could use that for living expenses or for project expenses. Mm-hmm. And but living at Narracourt Cave, it's been great because my work is right basically in my backyard. Mm-hmm. So it's been very convenient for me.
Let's talk specifically now. The southern bent-wing bat, which is the one that is featured at the Narracourt Caves. Yes. Perhaps let's start with its physical appearance. Could you explain it to those of us who haven't seen it?
Yeah, these are just the typical little brown bat that you would see. They're about 10 centimeters or so long in their body length, and they're quite small, about 15 and a half grams. So they're not the big flying foxes that you would see.
Mm-hmm.
Just cute little furry brown things, pretty much.
And what about its life cycle? How does it reproduce?
Yep, so they basically come to a maternity cave, which is here in Narracourt Caves. It's the one of two maternity caves in the world for the species. And they have their pups there, and then they raise their pups throughout the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll all leave to overwintering caves in around April or so.
So they're only in Narracourt for the rearing of the baby. Then where do they head for the other part of the year?
Yeah, they head to other caves, about 50 caves in the region, so mm-hmm. the southeast region. There's many caves throughout the area, and they go to these caves to overwinter because these caves are much cooler than bat caves.
Oh, I see.
And when they overwinter, they go into torpor, mm-hmm. so they need cool environments to be able to do that.
So they don't go very far away, still in this Limestone Coast region, but just mm-hmm. not the Narracourt Cave.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Mm-hmm. What are their requirements? You've mentioned earlier insects. Is that what they live on solely? What about in the cave?
Yeah, they do. They live on insects solely. So they come out at night to feed. They eat beetles and moths a lot, and they do eat some mosquitoes. But when they're in the cave, they're not feeding. They're just basically resting and rearing their young.
So how long do they survive without eating like that?
I don't know actually how long they would survive without eating, but they go out every night.
Oh, I see.
If
yes.
weather is able to.
Yeah. Now, the reason why you're studying these bats is they are critically endangered. Could you give us an idea perhaps of the figures, say, in the numbers that existed in the 60s and the numbers now?
Yeah, so back in the 1960s, when people first began looking at these bats here at Bat Cave, the numbers were estimated to be between 100 to 200,000 bats.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've declined. My highest count from this year has been about 41,000. So it's definitely gone down quite a bit.
Significantly lower. I'm speaking to Kristen Lear, who's in Narracourt for 12 months, studying the southern bent-wing bats in the Narracourt caves. What are you specifically looking at why those numbers are decreasing?
No, my project doesn't quite touch on all that, but I am looking at watching the numbers fluctuate throughout the year.
Right.
And we're hoping that this information can point us in the direction of what's going wrong with the species.
Mm-hmm. I'm intrigued as to what you actually do in the caves, how you can count the bats. Could you perhaps explain a typical day for you, how you uh-huh. set up your equipment, what goes on inside the caves?
Yep. So I actually don't have to go inside the cave, which is good for the bats. We try to minimize disturbance inside the cave. And I have thermal imaging cameras that I set up outside the cave. So about 8 p.m. or so, I will go out and set up these cameras. And then when the bats start coming out around 8:30 or so, these cameras actually count each and every bat that comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And how it works is it picks up the body heat of the bats, and so then we can track each bat as they come out.
So you can't specifically see a certain bat. It could be the same one going backwards and forwards two or three times?
Yes, it could be.
Yeah.
But luckily the program counts how many are going out and how many are going in, so it can give us a net number at the end of ins and outs.
So you sit outside the cave collating the information that these things are telling you. Is that the idea?
That's exactly it. And luckily, I don't have to count anything by hand. So
right.
The computer counts for me, which is great.
Now, at the end of your time in Narracourt, who do you present your findings to?
Well, I'm working with the Department of Environment and Natural Resources in conjunction with them. So I will be sending a report to them, an internal report, and then also presenting at several conferences here in Australia. And then also, at the end of the year, I plan on going to a bat conference in Hungary to present my research and learn more about bats there. And then hopefully maybe publish some papers from this.
Fantastic. So you've probably answered my next question, the future for you. Obviously, it's going to be in the science field. Have you completed your studies, or are you going back to college to do further study?
Yes, I have completed university, so I graduated with a Bachelor of Fine Art, or Bachelor of Arts, excuse me.
Arts, did you say?
Yeah, it's like a Bachelor of Science, but my school did not offer that specific degree.
Right.
But yes, it's a science degree.
Ah, I see.
And in zoology.
Mm-hmm.
And then I plan to earn my PhD in the next few years, so that's kind of the next step.
And do you think that will be to do with bats?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
It will definitely be with bats.
You're based at the caves. Are people who are visiting the caves, do they have a chance to chat to you there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I'm sitting outside the cave, a lot of tour groups come through and just visitors are on their own. And they ask lots of questions, and it's great to talk with them and in a first-hand environment when they can actually see the bats.
Oh, it means so much more when we have an expert there to tell us too. Yes.
Yep.
How much longer are you in Narracourt?
I should be here. My scholarship ends in mid-August.
Right.
So at least until then, but I'm planning on extending my stay here a little bit after that.
Oh, great, great. Mm-hmm. Well, all the best, and it's just fascinating to hear what people with a fascination with a little creature like that do, and your studies. And let's hope maybe we can work out why those numbers are going down and perhaps do something to help them.
Absolutely. Yep.
Thank you, Kristen, very much for joining
us
this morning.
Much.